All right. So again, this week is the last session on personal ethics and integrity. Thank you guys for being here. And thank you to Brother Saul Flores, my father-in-law. This is a man I feel completely comfortable teaching this course because you don't know somebody until, really, really know somebody until you're in their family. And then you see all sides of that person. And so God very much smiled upon me when he put me in their family. And I will say that Brother Flores is probably one of the most integrous men that I know. So we have a treat tonight to be able to hear from him, and I'm excited about it. So take your liberty and teach. And if you can, I'm horrible at this, but maybe you can be better. Try to stick close to the mic. If you guys have listened to the online recording, you'll notice my voice fading in and out. So I apologize for that.
Okay. All right, how's everyone tonight? Good. I think most of you know me already. Preston introduced me as Brother Saul Flores. Most of you know me, and I think I know most of you too. At least I have seen you for some time or some years here. And in this class of personal ethics / integrity, I was asked to speak about this, and first of all, I just wanted to say that I feel honored, and I feel, on the other side, English is not my first language, so you gotta excuse my butchering of the language, but I'll try my best, and trust me, I will do it with my my own heart, with my full heart. I want really to be able to hopefully to teach something tonight that can be a avail to you. Let's pray first of all. Why don't you help me to pray for a little bit? Let's pray for a little bit. Aleluya. Gracias, Señor. Te damos en tu nombre, Señor Jesús. Pedimos que tu espíritu tome control en este lugar, Dios. Dame las palabras, los pensamientos en mi corazón. Úngeme, Dios. En el nombre de Jesús. Ayuda a cada joven. Cada jovencita, Dios, en el nombre de Cristo Jesús, te lo pido, Señor, y te doy gracias. Amén. Amén, Señor. Amén. I really, like I told you before, Spanish is my first language, and you understand when your first language is the first language, you always want to do that. So, anyway, personal ethics, we got a learning objectives. I know you have, this is the fourth class?
Yeah.
You probably have heard different things about ethics, but let's try to hopefully with the help of the Lord we can convey a thought tonight about what it is. The learning objectives, how you can be kept, and there's the scriptures. You guys are gonna have the online. You guys have access to all this. How can you be guided? How to receive a blessing of God, not only you, but your descendants also. And the reasons and logic, okay, sorry, I should have, those was the learning objectives, and then, how to receive blessings of God for you and your descendants, and reasons of logic, if you are a person of integrity, you are going to be trusted, you will have more opportunities to succeed in life, better relations with friends and family, and a clean conscience and a peace of mind. Those are the reasons and the logic of these lessons. Ethics and integrity. Just going to explain a little bit about ethics. Ethics is an external system of rules and laws. Usually there are rewards when we follow the rules and punishment when we break them. Ethics is an external system. So some companies have a code of ethics. Integrity is an internal system of principles which guides our behavior. Integrity is a choice rather than obligation. Even though influenced by upbringing and exposure, integrity cannot be forced by outside sources. Integrity conveys a sense of a wholeness and a strength. Strength. When we are acting with integrity, we do what is right, even when no one else is watching us. People of integrity are guided by a set of core principles that empowers them to behave consistently. why don't you help me with this first, and then you follow me. Okay, I'm going to repeat myself this part. People of integrity are guided by a set of our core principles that empowers them to behave consistently to a high standards. The core principles of integrity are virtues such as compassion, dependability, generosity, honesty, kindness, loyalty, maturity, objectivity, respect, trust, and wisdom. And the sum of all virtues, that equals the integrity. And there's a dynamic, there's a relationship between integrity and ethics, where each strengthens or reinforces the other. Personal integrity is the foundation for ethics. And good personal ethics encourages integrity. So they both, there's this dynamic relation to the integrity, ethics and the integrity. Some years ago, a sociologist by the name of Raymond Bonhart, he asked the business people, what do ethics mean to you? It was kind of like a questioning to people. What does ethics means to you? If I was to ask this evening to every one of us what ethics means, I know that we'll have an answer, and some of them will be, you know, probably pretty centered. But in this case, it was asked, we don't know if they were Christians or they were just secular people. I will assume it's just the business people. And their answer was, ethics has to do with what my feelings tell me is right or wrong. Ethics has to do with my religious beliefs. If you were atheist, I would say that was, you know, you were going to build your... being ethical is doing what the law requires. It's only when the law sees you. This is a question that they give. Ethics consists of the standards of behavior our society assesses. Other people answer, I don't know what the word means. And that's was pretty sincere. He was probably ethical. Because, you know, some people don't even know the meaning of that word, but they could be ethical. Ethics are the set of moral principles that guide a person's behavior. These morals are shaped by social norms, cultural practices, and religious influences. Ethics reflect beliefs about what is right and what is wrong, what is just and what is unjust, what is good and what is bad in the terms of human behavior. And we understand that we have a creator. We were created. We are created. So our creator demands and expects from his creations, from us, from humans, to treat other fellow men fair. There's one scripture in Micah 6:8. This is a very, very profound scripture that talks about this ethics. You know, when it comes to this, what God expects from his creation, from us, from humans. Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There's a lot of it's a very profound scripture with you. So he demands from his creation, he expects us to be ethical persons, that we don't harm each other. You know, God expects us to treat our fellow man fair, and that's part of the ethical. That is the personal ethics. And when you're dealing with personal ethics, principles, moral values, integrity, all these things are the most important elements in the life of a human being, let alone a Christian. Because there's, how many of you know someone that is not Christian and is very ethical, very professional? You know, they have integrity. I have none. I have friends that are very ethical, and, you know, they have integrity. So, and a human being is very valuable element to have, you know, be ethical, have integrity. And this is the backbone of a person, is what you are. This writer, William George Jordan, if you can Google it, he's got some books that are free, even audio and PDFs.
He's a writer of the 1800s, 1900s, and the Mormon Church bought the copyrights a lot of his books. They're really, really good. It talks about different, you know, ethics and integrity. Almost, if you want to highlight those books, almost every phrase is worth of highlighting. So I recommend you can Google that man, William George Jordan. And he said, man must be true to himself, or he will be false to all the world. I think that's very true. If we are not a person of integrity, if we are not we don't have ethics, we don't know. In other words, let's put it like this: when you are by yourself, the real you is going to come. It's simple as that. I know a lot of people that they have not steal because they have not had the opportunity at work. I am a supervisor. I got people that work under me, and some, you know, as long as you got them in a case, they're going to be all right. But the moment they're going to be alone, they don't have integrity. They don't have the personal ethics. Okay. Saying differently, when you're by yourself and nobody's watching you, the real you will show. You have to live like God is there watching you. You know, that's as a Christian, that's how we gotta conduct ourselves. I'm just gonna throw this here, but I was 22, almost 23 when I came to the knowledge of the Word of God. And I was very unethical and very everything. You just name everything you want. But when I started reading the Bible and I realized that the responsibility that God was expecting and demanding from me, I took this very serious at the age of 23. And I started doing to the best of my ability. I started just building up my life upon this. And I said, you know what? If this book says that there's blessings for this, I want those blessings. I maybe one of these days I'll share my testimony, but how can I put it to you? I was in the basement, literally, when God really rescued me. He has blessed me. And part of that I know is because I know it's His mercy, but it is the effort of the person. It works just like that. If you expect Him to bless you and not obey His word, I'm sorry, but things don't work like that. So that's what God, in other words, we got to live our lives like God is watching us. And in reality, God is watching us. He's literally, you know, the scripture goes to say a lot of different scriptures, but Psalms 139, if you can read it at first, Psalms 139:7.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I go up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light around me. Yea, the darkness does not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. As is the darkness, so is the light to you.
In other words, God, you know, there's nothing that we can hide from God. Our thoughts, our intentions, He knows everything from us. He's there. So if you're to live your life, this is part of your personal ethics of, like, you know, God is there, and I got to do what's right because He's there. And He's trust me, He's there. Even though we don't see Him and we don't feel Him all the time, but God is there. But unfortunately, we're living in a fearless society where a lot of people, they don't fear God, they don't respect God, and a lot of people don't have integrity. They don't have principles. They don't have moral values, personal ethics anymore. You know, this is a new thing. Before, almost like, if you start reading books of writers of the 1800s, 1900s, you'll see that, man, it's a lot of integrity is there. A lot of, it's like, there were a different type of people, what we got now, what we see now. So principles, moral values, personal ethics, anymore, people don't really have respect for that. And that's one of the many reasons why the lives of many people and societies are falling down or degrading. I believe that's why. That's definitely why our societies are degrading and families, and because of the moral values, of the principles that God intended in the beginning, you know, this is for you. It's for your own good. If you follow this, this is what's going to happen. So since the 60s, the generations has been losing the moral values, ethics. Education has lost its moral values. The belief of our education system is that we must not teach moral values, which delineate right and wrong. Chuck Miller writes a 1940 survey of the public school authorities found their top discipline problems, and they were this is the discipline the problems that the school system had in the 1940s. There was talking, gum chewing, making noise, running, dressing improperly, and littering. That was in the 40s. Now in the 1986, that's many years ago when they did this other one. In 1986, a poll of educators listed this is the problem the schools faces at this time, and I don't think it has got any better. But the list was rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, pregnancy, abortion, venereal disease. We're living in a different world. Absolutely, we're living in a different world. When my parents grew up, they tell me how it was. It was completely different. Now it's we're living in a different world. This quotes, there is a degree of cynicism and sophistication in our society, a sense that all things are relative and that nothing is absolutely right or wrong. That's what we hear, in the, especially in universities, for those that in attending university. You're going to hear that all the time. Another quote, but this general of the Navy. We have grasped the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mountain. The world has achieved brilliance without wisdom, power without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. Will you agree with that? I think it's true. There's a lot of knowledge and stuff. But when it comes to ethics, we don't see a whole lot of that. The homes, the schools, and even churches have gone into a degradation, or they have losing their principles or moral values. And now they say that everything is relative. There is no right or wrong. They say if it feels good, do it. If your heart tells you to do it, it's okay, do it. And I want you to tell you that is not true. And we know that is not true. Why do we know that is not true? Ethics is not to obey your feelings like these people were saying. You know, ethics is what my heart tells me to do. The Bible says, telling you the difference. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You cannot trust your feelings. You cannot trust your heart to do ethical decisions. Sometimes you know you're going to feel against your feelings. I really like that guy, you know, it is. I lie. Or a girl, if it's, you know, but if it's going to get you eventually in trouble. Go against your feelings. You know, your feelings, they're gonna finish one day. It doesn't matter what the system of education teaches about ethics or what the government think or even the majorities of the people believe. We have one source of guidelines. We have a code of ethics for our personal ethics, and that is the Word of God. You believe that's where we get our code of ethics? We don't have no other source but the Word of God. And I want to tell you that has been there for hundreds of thousands of years and still have the same results. So that means that we should pay attention to that. Psalms, if you can read Psalms 11:3, Preston.
If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence is so hated. On the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempests. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
You know, Scripture is very clear when it comes to our expectations and demands and how God pays or repays the consequences. So we got the Word of God to know what is right and what is wrong. The Word of God pays a lot of importance to ethics, principles, moral values, integrity. In fact, you know that our salvation is based on, where we base our salvation off of from the Word of God? Acts 2:38, right? That's how we base our foundation, start with our the foundation of our salvation, Acts 2:38. But there's, you gotta guard that salvation. It's given to you freely, but you must guard that salvation. And if you read 1 Corinthians 6:9, Tristan,
sorry,
that's okay.
1 Corinthians 6:9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, that ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
You see, it tells you there, and all of that, it has to do with ethics, with integrity. If you are not, you know, nowadays you hear a lot of people, salvation is free, I mean, it was paid, and if you got that salvation, God is not going to take it away. They make sound salvation like there's nothing that will hinder that will, you know, according to what I read, someone has been saved, believing in the message of the new birth, regeneration of repenting, getting baptized in water in the name of Jesus, being filled with the Spirit of God. But if they continue being an unrighteous life, I mean, to me, that's very clear. That's pretty simple. I don't muddy those waters. Psalms 24, if you can read it first.
Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Selah.
You see, personal ethics, integrity will guard you, will protect you. It will open doors of opportunity, will bless you. If you're at a job and the boss recognizes that you're a person of integrity, you're trustworthy, and you're among people that are not very ethical, who do you think he's going to choose? Believe me, even if he's not Christian, if he's not ethical, he will choose the ethical person. I've been just for the glory of God. I remember one time when I started working, I worked for the state, and there was one day when the bosses, everybody left, and then the crew decided to leave at a certain hour, and they want to leave. And he asked a person, say, what time you guys left? Oh, right in time at 3. Say, no, what? See, you know, move out of the way. Let me ask, so he went to me, what time you guys left? You know what? It wasn't this exact time we left. It was not a 3, let me tell you. When they left, it was. And then people will recognize, they know who you are. They recognize whether you are trustworthy or if you are, on the other side. It's very simple. You get to know people after a while. So it's definitely will bless you, will benefit you. And they're going to definitely put you in charge if there's no other ethical people. It pays to be honest, to be true, to walk in integrity. Personal ethics, this is how I put personal ethics, integrity. It's like an insurance for you. You know there's many insurances. There's disability insurance. If you lose your job, you get insurance. They'll pay you. There's accident insurance. There's all kinds of insurance. There's accident insurance for cars and for you too. But there's what they call life insurance. I call that debt insurance. Because they give you the money only until you die. That's debt to me. That's debt insurance. Well, with ethics, with integrity, it's a policy that pays you and the person time. It'll pay because, you know, if you're trustworthy, if somebody can trust you, I mean, you got access to, you know, I had a business before. I started a business. I had a business for about 15 years. And I guess people, I didn't know about, you know, how to put all these words together, but I knew that it wasn't the Word of God. But people started trusting me, and they gave me keys to their homes. I In fact, I still got out of my house a bunch of keys that they never requested back. I said, don't worry. All keys from houses, I mean, a bunch of them. I had 90 accounts. I was doing 90 accounts a week. It was a lawn business, the landscape. And I had keys to their houses because some of the timers for the water were in the garages, old houses. You need to go inside the garage and say, if I'm not here, just go in there. And there was time that I was in certain areas and, you know, I need to go to a restroom. And I said, I'm not going to go to a dirty gas station. The house was around there. I will go, open, go to the restroom, come back. And, you know, obviously when people was not there. So it definitely opens a lot of doors for you. I mean, it's there's no limit. They, you know, if they know you're trustworthy, trust me. I mean, it's they're going to leave money there. They're going to. It pays instantly. You earn that right away. But not only that, what I want to emphasize this evening is that the integrity, personal ethics, that will not only pay instantly, but your next generation, your children, will be blessed. And some of you, most of you don't have children. But I have seen it. I started trying my best to live this word, and I have seen my children in place. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. To me, that's very valuable. Most of you don't have children, but, you know, it definitely your generations to come will be blessed. And we see a lot of examples. I don't think I'm going to go through all of them, but Noah is it's a good example. The Bible tells us that he was the righteous man in his generations, you know. For that, him and Genesis 6-7, we read that where God saw this man that he was a righteous man. All this generation, it has been said that it was thousands, millions, even billions of people in those days when the flood happened. It was not just like a small little community. It was millions and possible billions of people living at the time of Noah. And there was only one man. They got so, you know, he's righteous. In other words, this man is he practices his personal ethics. He's definitely a man of integrity. In other words, I can trust him to continue the reproduction of humanity. And if you started with Adam and Eve, him and his three sons and wives, eight people, the Bible tells us that from those eight persons that were saved, that's what we got now. Because God saw that in Noah. That's his generations were blessed because of his integrity. We need to walk with God and we need to keep his word in our hearts. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know the word of God, you put it in there. Some people, you have heard this saying of what will Jesus do? You know, if you put the word of God in you, when a situation comes in, you're going to know exactly what to do. Because the word of God is going to reveal to you, you know, no, that's not right. That's not ethical. That's you don't do that. We don't go there. I mean, it will guide you. It will guard you and guide you. Job 27:5 says, God forbid that I shall justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. This man was, we read about him, he was defined. He said, you know what? You can kill me, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to curse God. You can do whatever you can do, but I'm not doing that. So in this time, we need this kind of a conviction to really make it in this times that we're living. You need to have that in mind. It's you know what? I am sold to this, and nothing is going to move me. Because remember, your commitment is with God. I did it with God. My sin with God. That's why, it's funny that I haven't really grew up with that. Now that we've been here for almost 20 years with Pastor Booker and now Pastor Brown in Spanish, but God kind of made me grow almost without a pastor. He was kind of like a on my own. I was like the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God. And eventually God will place us here where, you know, we found a good church. So if you keep the Word of God in you, that will definitely keep you. That will guide you. Psalms 25:21 says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait and be." You see, this psalmist knew that when you walk in integrity, you are an upright person. It will preserve you. It will guard you. It will keep you. That's what it is. You can read Psalms 26, Preston.
The Psalm of David, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord."
Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." That's very clear. If you can read Psalms 1:1.
"Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish."
If you summarize this Psalms 1, which I memorized it, I can say it in Spanish, not in English. You know, if there's one scripture, Joshua also has got a portion of the scripture there in the first chapter that talks about that everything you do shall prosper. When I started my business, I quoted that to God. I said, "You know what, you said that everything that I is going to prosper." So it sure did. It sure did. But I was playing my part. So God expects that. You know, he's not afraid of blessing you. I mean, you got this. He can bless even in drought. Even in God can bless. He can open a doors of opportunity. He will do it. I mean, he's sitting in his word. And he don't have a problem doing it. Let me just tell you. But if we do our part, he's going to do it. Psalms 1:5. Okay, that's we read that already. Okay, and this is I can go a lot of different examples in the Bible with a lot of scriptures, which you probably have had a lot of scriptures about this integrity or personal ethics. But all those examples that we have in the Bible about integrity, that God will bless you, integrity, and they were able to harvest blessings of God for themselves and for their generations, or for their children. We can read of Joseph. We will have read about Joseph. But the other part that I want to touch this evening also is that people don't think that when you're not ethical, when you do not want to walk in an integrity of obeying the Word of God, there's consequences also. Same way that there's consequences for blessings for being a person of integrity, there's consequences of evil to your descendants when you do not obey a God. Many of you have heard Brother Booker say in this study of the person, the two families in New York. Most of you have heard that story, that two families, the city of New York did study in the early 50s or 1900s. And the same family, same year, and one, they were really wicked families and cost the state of New York millions of dollars in welfare. And they had all kinds of descendants from prostitutes to even people that were killed in the death row. And they had all kinds of, and the other family, they had all kinds doctors, authors, missionaries, the nurses, even a judge. And I think the black sheep of the family was a vice president of the United States. There's definitely a consequence. You know, a study of family. Just study. Start thinking of, I know so-and-so. Yeah. It's like the cycle. It just repeats. It just So there's a part that you will bring this to your, and I'm not trying to scare you, but if some, you know, like in the beginning, it says that integrity cannot be forced in. It's a choice. You're going to decide whether you want to be a person of integrity or not. Simple as that. You know, people, some young people say, when I grow up and I get to be, you know, 18 or I'm going to do what I want. And like if their parents were to be there all the time, when somebody wants to do something, you'll do it. You are going to do it. I mean, you're going to do it. You're going to do it, whether you're old in age or young. It's a choice. It's simple, a choice. And let alone us that we've been that we have repented and we have the Spirit of the living God in us, you know, He can definitely help us. He can definitely help us. There's no, He's there to help us. He wants to help us. He wants to. You have seen the Kaiser advertisement. They want you to try. Say, you know, Kaiser wants you to try. Try. Is that how you say?
Try.
Yeah, I mean, God wants you really to succeed and thrive. That's what He wants. Yeah, that, I truly believe that because I have experienced that myself. I was going to use an example of this man, which the name is
Heisai.
Can everybody say that name? Heisai. Okay, I learned that. I know it in Spanish. Okay, this man. We know the story. You got the scripture said that this man came to Elisha and he did a miracle for him and he said, you know, it was a general that came from another country. He said, you know, I'm going to give you what you want. He brought all kinds of camels with a lot of different gifts that he was expecting to give this prophet. He said, no, I don't want none of that. I don't need nothing. I don't want nothing. The glory is, you know, for the Lord. He did the miracle. But his servant saw all this riches and everything. He said, wow, what did my master be? You know, we could have got all this load of that. And he just waited. So they departed. They went a little far away. He ran and chased them. He said, you know what? My master changed his mind. He said, well, he just got a visit from, you know, sons of the prophets. And then he just wants some. He said, you know, take it. Oh, they didn't help him to take it, take it. He took everything, and when he came back, obviously God had already spoke to Elisha about his servant. And he asked him, and he even denied it right there. He said, oh, where you been? Oh, nowhere. He was not very ethical. Oh, nowhere. It's like when somebody, the Bible says that the person that wants to hide his sin, talks about the prostitute, the person that is like the person that eats bread. It's like a kid, you know, oh, you got some cookies. Oh, no, no, he's got crumbs all over. So this man was like that. He had the crumbs all over his face. And he said, you know, because you did this, now you're going to have get leprosy. And not only you, your descendants will have leprosy. So when I read that, I said, you know what, it's sometimes we bring stuff to our own kids that they're not even asking for that. So same thing, when you live in integrity, you know, your descendants, you're going to do a favor to them. It's just not only you. I don't want you to see it just all like the present time, but for the future generations. Your integrity will keep you and your generations to come, and your lack of integrity will bring curse to you and your future generations. Black and white, there's no other way to explain it to you. Simple as that. Psalms 37:25, David was writing this psalm. He said, I have been young, and I can say myself, I have been young. Now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He knew that. He saw this. He said, the righteous or his descendants, I haven't seen them begging for bread. Meaning that, you know, he knew. Somebody say, with your actions, you are doing, with your actions, you're either building a bridge or you're digging a grave for your future generations to come. And I think we got to really pay attention to, and I'm not, I want you to think that I'm starting a doctrine that start thinking of your generations and you know, I'm going to have But you know, actually, when you read a lot about history and the most furious warriors were the this what was the 300 men that well, it'll come to me. Anyway, these people, they were, since they were kids, these warriors, they were so furious to fight. I mean, nobody could really withstand them. They were, since kids, they were telling, you know what, when you go to war, you're not fighting only for your lives. You're fighting for your generations that will come, for hundreds of people and thousands of people, your future generations. So they were not only fighting, you know, my life. Some people said, ah, what's my life worth? You know, I'm in a Lego. I said, no. You got responsibility. You got a lot of people ahead of you. You better fight. So these people were so furious, Spartans. Yeah, when you read how they were, I mean, that's part of what it was embedded in them. You got to fight not only for you, you know, your gods, your people, present people, but your generations to come. So they knew. They knew that, that's why they were so, I'm thinking that when they went to the battle, they had, oh, they're not gonna give me that easy, because they really assumed that responsibility of these future generations. The Bible tells that we don't have a righteousness of our own. Our fallen nature is always trying to bring us down. Perhaps there are some things from our past that we're ashamed of them. But when we repented and came to God, He didn't reject us. And if any one of us feel that we need to get closer to the Lord, and maybe our personal ethics are not the greatest at this present moment, God always does everything with redemption in mind. There's always room to improve. You have heard that. There's always room to improve. You can be the most ethical person. You know, my hope is that this evening you reinforce that and you say, like Job said, you know what? You can even kill me, but I'm not going there. I mean, it has to be embedded in you. That's really what's going to take. Because if something can move you, you know, as you got to reinforce and reinforce that in you. We can, okay, there's always room to improve. God is so interested in our well-being that He wants us to walk in integrity. He told this to Solomon. I don't think I have a whole lot of time for this, but God brought, when Solomon had an encounter with the Lord, he asked, he told him, you know what, I made a promise to your dad that there's going to be a king in Israel, but you need to walk. If you walk in integrity of heart, he tells him that in 1 Kings 9:1, all the way to, I think it's there in the scriptures right there. He reminded them that, you know, if He wants the blessings, you need to walk in integrity that your dad walked. Because that's going to, and it's more profound, I don't want to get into this, but He tells them that even the people of Israel was depending on and His, you know, His integrity, you know that. And we know the story, how He failed to really obey all the word of God. A lot of the things that He was told not to do, He went and did it. Don't get more than one. Many wives, not more than that. In those days, they were allowed to have a son, but He went and had a bunch of them and brought him from other nations with different gods, and He made a temple for this one, you know, and a temple for the other one. And He made a mess of his life, and not worse to just. But God reminded him, He said, you know, if you walk in integrity, there's going to be a king in Israel. There's always going to be. So my point being is here is that you're. Integrity, your personal ethics will benefit you instantly, not only you, but your future generations. You might say, well, I don't want to get married. I'm never going to have a kid. Still, it's good for you. It is a policy that will pay. You know, to have a peace of mind for those that we didn't have a peace of mind before, I didn't have a peace of mind. I was very, very distressed. I went at the age of 19, somewhere around 19, 20. I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted to kill myself. I was so I didn't have peace in mind. So when I came to God and I realized, you know, it's so nice to have peace of mind. I mean, to just, enjoy life. It's like you don't have to be worried that looking at me back when somebody's watching me. And you know, nowadays, this is another, but nowadays, they're almost on a daily basis, we're being watched. There are cities that they have cameras. I think the city of Redlands is one of them. There are some cities that they have cameras. Almost at all times, they're looking at people in the streets. And we have become to, now it's more clear for us to understand that God is watching us. This is just my thinking. I think the day of judgment, when people will start making excuses and, and this and that, remember, time is no longer there, it's eternity. God's going to say, you know what? Sit down. And there's no time, eternity. And we're going to, I know this might go against Bob Booker's beliefs and teachings, but I think he's going to show you a video of your life. The day we're going to see, this is just me. In other words, everything will be revealed. How? I don't know. I know there's going to be a big old screen or something. But I want you to know is that God has everything there for us. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to encourage you. That if you want the blessings of God, walk in integrity. I know sometimes it goes against what we feel in our own heart, what is right, but if we go by the word of God, we're going to be satisfied. Okay, I think that's it for now. If there's some questions, you can probably answer, or we can all talk about it. Is that anything maybe that I can explain kind of clear, unclear in one area? Any question? Go ahead. Go ahead, President. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed the last three lessons about integrity. Hopefully, you've learned something, you've gotten something from it. Again, if you missed a couple, you can see those, or you can hear the list of those online on the website. Our homework for today is to read the article Personal Ethics versus Professional Ethics. This is one of the guys that was quoted in today's lesson. He wrote an article that's linked on our disciple page, so check that out. And then just write a 1 to 2 paragraph synopsis of, in your own words, what you felt like he was saying, or how it applies to you. And then there is an exam, so go ahead and it actually is the 9/23 exam for today's date. So if you have your device and want to go ahead and take your quiz now, it'll be up for a few days. But make sure that you get that quiz done, and that way you can get credit for it. Alright, next session we're going into personal stewardship, and Pastor Joel Booker is going to be teaching that one. So next Wednesday, come with ready heart to receive, and I'm excited about it. We've got some good stuff coming up, so this is going to be fun. Alrighty, any questions about the lesson today, homework, quizzes, online resources, anything? Alright, thank you very much. God bless you. If you guys want to go ahead and take some time now to do your quizzes, feel free. You can stay here and do that. Otherwise, you're dismissed.